This is KBBI Homer, AM 890. The time is 9:01 a.m. And it's time for the Thursday COVID brief with Homer's Incident Command Team. Two representatives from Homer's Incident Command Team. So, Dorotha Ferraro from South Peninsula Hospital, are you there?
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning to you. And Jenny Carroll from the City of Homer. Jenny, can you hear me?
Yes. Hi, Kathleen.
Okay. Good morning. I, Nurse Lauren Carroll from the Homer Public Health Center has been receiving new assignments. And so right now he is, probably at this minute, he's meeting a new team of 12 people that he'll be managing. So Lauren can't be with us this time, but we're going to make time to check in with Lauren over the course, maybe not always live. But I do want to provide the information that Lauren generally gives you, and I get it straight from Dr. Ann Zink. I just want you to know, if you are looking for state-compiled information, data.coronavirus.alaska.gov is where all of this information I'm about to give you comes from. So briefly, I want to give you an overview of the state as of noon yesterday. 68 new people with COVID-19 in Alaska and one death. The person who died was a woman, a Fairbanks resident in her 70s with underlying conditions. 62 new cases are residents in 11 different communities, 40 in Anchorage, 6 in Fairbanks, 6 in the Valdez-Cordova census area, 2 in Juneau, 2 in Sterling, and 1 each as of yesterday in Kenai Peninsula Borough North, Metlakatla, Prince of Wales Hyder Borough, Sitka, Wasilla, and Yukon Koyukuk census area. 6 new non-residents were identified in Juneau, in the Yakutat Huna Angoon area, and in Anchorage. The total number of Alaska resident cases as of yesterday at noon is 3,881, and the total number of non-resident cases is 774. Of those, I want to break it down for people. Of the 62 Alaska residents, 27 are male, 35 are female, 8 are under the age of 10, 10 are aged 10 to 19, 12 are aged 20 to 29, 8 are aged 30 to 39, and 5 are aged 40 to 49, 8 people between the ages of 50 and 59, 7 between 60 and 69, and 1 between 70 and 79 years old. 3 of the positive cases are 80 years old or older. Now, I'm just about to the end of this. I realize this is a lot of numbers. 164 hospitalizations in the state and 27 deaths with 3 new hospitalizations as of yesterday at noon. Currently 31 patients diagnosed with COVID-19 who are hospitalized in the state, and an additional 8 patients who are under observation, for a total of 39 current COVID-related hospitalizations. People who no longer require isolation, those are the recovered cases, total 1,180. A total of 292,582 tests have been conducted. The average percentage of daily positive tests for the previous 7 days in the state is 2.54%. Now, all of this is as of noon yesterday, and you can always find it at the Alaska Coronavirus Response Hub. There is a lag between cases being reported on the dashboard, DHSS dashboard, and what local communities are experiencing. So let's go to Dorotha Ferraro for South Peninsula Hospital. So for the state, the average percentage of daily positive tests for the last week is 2.54%. But as of yesterday for South Peninsula Hospital, there have only been 2 cases in the last week. Is that right, Dorotha?
That's right, Kathleen. So thank you for the clarification there that, you know, that's a total statewide number, and we're a big state, and we're spread across a very large, vast area. But specifically to the Southern Peninsula, over the last 7 days, we've had 2 positive test results through the hospital drive-through testing. Now, remember, the hospital is not the only place that tests. SVT, even occasionally public health tests. And people in our service area can test elsewhere. But just using the hospital testing, we've had two in the last 7 days. And to compare the positivity rate then, that puts our positivity rate in the last 7 days at 0.5%, 0.5. And even over the entire pandemic, our positivity rate is running at 1.6%. So our numbers are a little lower, or a lot lower than the statewide percentages there.
And can you talk a little bit more? Oh, go ahead. Talk a little bit more about testing for the through the hospital.
You bet. You bet. So we test every day. We offer free COVID-19 testing at the hospital's main entrance parking lot. And to get there, you just drive straight up Main Street and then take a left on Bayview, and that takes you right into the parking lot. If you call in advance and the COVID nurse screens that, yes, you need a test, they can register you in advance, and that'll make it a lot faster. But even if you don't, it's not that long. It's just that it's nice to already be registered. And that phone number is 235-0235. And then they can transfer you to the COVID nurse from there. Again, the testing is open from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. And the test turnaround time, it can take a while. It can take 4 to 5 days. And the reason for that is that most of our tests go to the state lab up in Anchorage to be processed. And because of no airline, right now we drive those up every morning. So for example, if you tested this afternoon, like let's say at 1 o'clock you came up and tested, your swab does not get to the state lab until tomorrow afternoon, because we leave here every morning. We even collect other clinics' samples and work and carry that up for them. So we probably stop about 10 different places along the way through the peninsula and make a lot of deliveries in Anchorage and then head back down. So that happens every day, and it does add at least a day, if not a day and a half, turnaround time for people's test results.
And
a total.
Go ahead.
I'll just give a quick total number of tests. As of yesterday, we were at 6,954, and we're always a day behind. And we average, right now we're averaging about 60 tests a day on just a normal day.
And that's down from June, isn't it?
It is, and that's a normal reflection of a snapshot of the virus in the community. So when you're having a lot of positives in the community, you're going to have more testing, because those positives probably have exposed others, and so they come and get tested. So in June, our positivity rate was higher, our community spread of COVID was higher, and so testing numbers were higher. But now the numbers are a lot lower, and that's going hand in hand with testing. I expect to certainly see that change as school opens up and more people start hanging out together. I also think the numbers are low because of a lot of people working really, really hard. You know, businesses have scaled back their capacity. Individuals are wearing masks and keeping their distances and changing their personal recreation and entertainment schedules. And I mean, people are working hard. I don't feel like this all happened by accident. So I am just, you know, mindful of that these numbers, they tell a story.
And is there any pop-up testing coming up, or is it all taking place now between, what is it, 8 a.m. and 10 p.m. at the hospital? No, it's 10 a.m. and 8 p.m.
I got 8 them. 8 p.m., yep, mm-hmm. Yep. That's for right now. We'll see what happens, you know, next week or the following week. But as far as this week, there's no pop-up. Dr. Tuomi, she is our infection prevention provider, and she serves on the local school work group. And she is meeting with them this afternoon and is in touch with the local school work group pretty closely. So I think we'll probably hold off until school gets up and rolling, until we make any new testing decisions.
Now I want to shift gears for a minute and go to Jenny Carroll for the City of Homer, but also to make sure people know that if you have any questions for Dorotha Ferraro, spokesperson for South Peninsula Hospital, or Jenny Carroll from the City of Homer, the number to call is 235-7721, or You can email your question to info@kbbi.org. And Dorotha, I'll get back to you. I want to talk a little bit more about school opening. But Jenny Carroll from the City of Homer, welcome back.
And thank you.
And can we talk a little bit, can you update on CARES Act funding, the deadlines that are coming up?
Sure, I will. Right now we have one CARES Act program open called the SBIRG. That's for small businesses in the community. It is open and taking applications until September 25th. So we encourage small businesses in Homer who haven't applied yet to go ahead and apply. The program awards $3,000 grants. Let's see, last week we received 50 new applications on that program. So now we have a total of 309 applicants. And of those, 256 have been approved, and a total of $768,000 is out in the community to support our hardworking small businesses. There's plenty of time to apply for that program, and if you have questions, you can contact Jody Mastey. She's the SBIRG program manager, and you can call her at 299-5978. The SBIRG program is kind of the tip of the iceberg. Last council meeting, the city council passed an ordinance that lined out how more of the federal CARES Act dollars that the city got will go to support four additional grant programs in the community. And I can run those, I can run through those with you briefly this morning.
Yes, please.
The grants aren't ready to be applied for. The council just passed the ordinance. The city has hired an additional CARES Act administrator. Her name is Sarah Perman. She'll be working with the city to advertise, get the applications going, and receive those applications and help process them, similar to how Jody is doing with this SBIRG program. So hang tight. The information will be available soon, but here's the outline. There are four additional grant programs. One is called the Household Economic Relief Grant Fund, or HERG. Now you're going to see the point of my iceberg comment. There are many more ERGs to come. But that was funded at $1.5 million and will be allocated to households within the city of Homer, and each household is eligible for one grant of $1,500. And these grants are eligible for people who have been negatively financially impacted by COVID-19 and the shutdowns and mandates that occurred around that. And they're eligible for payment of rent. People can use it to pay utilities, childcare fees, groceries, food deliveries that may have been necessary, any kind of household expense that are not covered by your current wages or other forms of support like unemployment, SNAP, or other COVID-19 relief funds that the household may have received. So it's a very simple application where the household just needs to confirm that they're eligible and disclose and certify how they've been negatively impacted by the COVID-19 pandemic.
I think they call that demonstrating need, right? You have to
demonstrate. Yes, exactly.
And I'm hoping that we'll be able to get Tim Dillon from the Economic Development District in the borough to weigh in maybe on Monday, because I definitely want to look at the number of people who are unemployed, how many people are facing eviction right now because of the downturn in business. But I would also like to make sure that businesses know that, well, first of all, what you were just talking about, applying for the funding, there is help available. You can contact Jody Mastey if you need a hand with it. Is that's correct, right?
This is for this. That would be for the small business economic relief grant.
And then
so
for the general public,
business, you can reach out to her. These are new programs that I'm describing that council just passed at their last meeting.
And how will people be able to?
So these programs are being developed. And the first one was the Household Economic Relief
Grant.
That's
the one.
HERG. There's three other ones that they passed at the same meeting. So we have a new person coming on at the city who will help administer these four programs as I'm going to describe them.
Right, and we're not there yet. They're not released. It's not time for people to contact that person. They're not at work.
This person is starting work, but right now we are still putting together the application materials,
okay,
as far as I know. I've been gone for about 3 weeks, so I may not be exactly clear on where we are with this, but I do know that council just passed it this last Monday, so we'll be getting them out as soon as possible.
And the city has, do they still have masks that they're distributing for people to pick up?
Yes. We have masks distributed to our usual outlets in town.
So that's Homersaw and Cycle, Scott's Pharmacy, and Skiff Chicks. There's somebody else, isn't there?
And, Psychological,
of course.
Yeah. So, Kathleen, maybe I could keep on this train of thought and go through the other three economic relief grant programs.
Go ahead. And then I have an email question in for Dorotha. So go ahead with the other programs, Jenny.
Okay.
Carroll.
The other programs that have been allocated money is called the NERG, which is the Nonprofit Economic Relief Grant Program. That was funded at a level of $750,000. And nonprofit organizations in Homer, or organizations that provide ongoing and substantial services to residents within the city of Homer, can apply for up to $10,000 grants. There's a third program that's called the Social Services Economic Relief Grant Program, or SOBERG. And the Social Services Economic Relief Grant Program offers $25,000 grants to organizations that have provided services to people within the city of Homer, to residents, and they are eligible for that program if they qualify for the nonprofit or the small business programs. And these funds of $25,000 are for expenses that go above and beyond what the other two programs are able to fund. Then finally, the last category of relief grant programs at this time are dedicated to child care businesses. So child care businesses that have experienced economic downturn during this time are eligible for up to $30,000 grants, depending on what type of child care facility they are. And we will be putting all the information out on the city website and advertising through all the local outlets that you're used to. And we will have a number of a person dedicated to answering your questions on these. It's in the city's interest to get these funds out to the community as soon as possible. So we'll be working to get all the information out, the applications opened up, and to be able to efficiently and quickly process those applications.
Thanks, Jenny Carroll from the city of Homer. We'll schedule a good block of time, a half an hour or maybe even an hour, when they're open for when people can apply for them, to really go through them. Also, the city has signage for businesses to help them remind people to mask and such.
Yes. The state has been working with different organizations and have put out a very attractive series of materials for businesses to encourage patrons to wear masks, to social distance, where to stand, to maintain that 6-foot distance. So those materials, you can reach out to the PIOs at the City of Homer for that. You can email us at eoc-pio@, oh gosh, my brain just skipped a beat.
It's all right. It'll
the
come.
Email address. But you can contact the city. And or I also know that Laser Print has pre-printed a lot of these materials at their business, and it's available for people to come in at a low cost, I understand, affordable cost anyway.
Thanks.
So those are two places where businesses can reach out to get those materials.
Thanks a lot. And Dorotha Ferraro from South Peninsula Hospital, a question came in to info@kbbi.org. It says, why is the hospital not driving the tests to Kenai and then flying them to Anchorage to save time?
We are exploring all options for this fall. There were so many on the peninsula when this first started, when the airline first changed and this all first started, that we were just pulling our resources and driving. But starting here this fall, right now we are looking at all of our winter options, not only for getting the samples up there, but also collecting the samples. The front entrance under the tent might not be sustainable for winter time once there's snow and ice. So we are, we're looking at all of those wintertime decisions.
Okay, thanks. And before we wrap up for the day, I want to make sure to draw people's attention. Thanks to Rotha for drawing my attention to it, to the Kenai Peninsula Borough School District's COVID risk level button. So first, let me tell you how to get there. You can plug Kenai Peninsula Borough School District into your favorite search engine, or go to kpbsd.k12.ak.us. Now, once you've done that, you get to the Kenai Peninsula Borough School District page. And about halfway down that page, not even halfway down that page, there's a gray bar that says, Will Schools Open? COVID-19 Risk Level. And the icon for it is stoplight, red, yellow, and green lights. So if you click on that bar and go to the bottom of the page, they're arranged by date. And it's a two-page report, resident coronavirus cases on the peninsula, and the level and just what's happening throughout the community. Dorotha Ferraro, how do you use this information?
I do, Kathleen.
How are you utilizing it?
I use it as a way to get my eyes on the spread of the virus in our service area. The school district does the service of, you know, putting at a glance the virus counts, so
right,
it's over the last 14 days.
And people who've been wondering why the data that we give isn't broken up into communities, on this page, they are broken up into communities. The North,
and
the South,
the
Seward, Soldotna, Sterling, Homer, Anchor Point, Fritz Creek. Go ahead, Dorotha.
And for the record, that's always been available on the state website. But on the state website, you have to download an Excel spreadsheet, and the Kenai Peninsula Borough is broken out, but it's, you know, 6 lines of a 600-line Excel spreadsheet, and you're doing lots of sorting, et cetera. And the school district has done the work for us, so it's just a fast glance at the last 14 days in our service area.
Right, it's really useful and definitely easy to access and easy to understand. If you have been, oh, go ahead, Jenny.
Yeah, this is Jenny, and that has been uploaded on the COVID-19 webpage on the city website as well. So you can go there and click and pull up that chart very easily.
Because we're all pretty much, I know here at the station, we'll be checking the school district site every day to see what status we're at for the Start Smart program, whether
right,
or not school will be people will be gathering at school.
And those status levels, not just for the school district, for a variety of things, those kind of red, yellow, green, or red, orange, green levels, they're driving a lot of decisions. So it's just helpful to know the type of data that's being used to inform those decisions. That's not the only data, but it's the foundation. It's the base of it.
Thank you, Dorotha. Jenny Carroll from the City of Homer, is there anything else on your list that we haven't hit? Early voting is happening right now, and I know I did my early voting already. I know that there are, you know, dots on the floor to keep people apart, lots of precautions being taken. Everybody was masked when I went in.
Great. Yay. I'm glad to hear that. I would like to remind people of a couple of deadlines coming up around voting on August 17th, which is Monday. That's the last day you can do absentee in-person voting for the state primary election, and you can do that at Kohl's Chambers at City Hall from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. That's through Monday. Then we'll have the polls open on election day from 7 a.m. until 8 p.m. And as you said, Kathleen, the usual way that we've done in-person voting looks really different today due to COVID, but we are allowing a certain number of people into the polling, and we're asking everyone to follow social distance guidelines and to wear a mask that covers your nose and mouth. And we do have masks on site if you need one. If you don't want to come in, you still have a little time left to apply to vote by electronic transmission. That would be receiving and submitting your ballot either by email or fax. You have to apply for this type of voting at the state level. So you would go to elections.alaska.gov, their website, and you would click the early and absentee voting options link at the top of the page. And there you can submit your online application no later than 5 p.m. on August 17th. That will allow you to vote electronically and not go in. You have to have an email address and access to a printer to do that option. So that's a couple of deadlines coming up August 17th for the state primary. And just very quickly, the city and borough general elections are coming up October 6th. So the city will be holding elections for two city council seats and the mayor position.
The filing period
is open through Monday, August 17th
There's still time this week and Monday of next week if you are interested in filing to run for city council or mayor.
Correct. Currently, three candidates have filed for city council, and two have filed for mayor. And if anyone's interested in entering as a candidate, you can go to the City of Homer website, cityofhomer-ak.gov, and there you'll find links to the forms, eligibility requirements, filing requirements, and follow through there. You can always contact the city clerks, 235-3130. They can help you understand the process, and they are also seeking poll workers for the primary election all the way through the end of the year elections. So you can also sign up to do that if you would like to.
And I thought we were going to get out of here without this question, but I've got one for my email for the city. Is there going to be a mask mandate from the City of Homer?
At this point, I do not know that there will be one. This, as you know, the city did reach out to the state as a first-class city. We do not have health mandate powers, and so we've been trying to work with the state to get some state support for a mask mandate that city council has. At this point, Governor Dunleavy has stated that communities have the powers to do what mandates they want to do around this. It is unclear to the city of Homer that we have that legal power. So we're working with the legal team, and we will work through that issue as best we can and see where we can get.
Thank you.
Is at least a part of council's intention to see if they have any powers to institute more strict mandates.
And thanks, Jenny Carroll from the city of Homer. We'll check back in at the beginning of the week, and you call us, contact KBBI anytime. And Dorotha Ferraro from South Peninsula Hospital, is there anything on your list that needs to get out to people today?
Well, I would just kind of do a reality check that it's the middle of August. We are in the eighth month here of the year, and I think that some folks may have put their own health care and their own wellness on hold while they were looking at community and statewide needs. And just a reminder to everyone that do not bypass your normal health needs. I'm guilty of it. I've not done my annual exam or anything this year because I've been so focused on COVID. And one of the growing facts here by looking at numbers, statistics, is that the healthier you are going into the disease, if you were to get it, the better your chances are of a milder case. And so stay healthy. It's one tool that you have in your toolkit. Just like wearing a mask is a tool and keeping your distance is a tool, another tool is staying healthy. Don't forget that right now. Work on your health, keep your diet well, exercise, practice mental wellness and emotional wellness, and do your annual screenings and your vaccinations. And healthcare is open in this community. Not just at the hospital, but community-wide. And don't ignore your own personal health right now.
And Dorotha, there one more question came in, which I know you're going to be able to help with. Someone just wrote in, decisions on school openings are being made based on positive tests in the areas. However, on the peninsula, the vast majority of tests are being done in the Homer area. How is it accurate to use testing rates when so few tests are being done in the north and eastern areas? And I think the answer to that is because the school district looks at all the state numbers, or it looks at those breakdowns. But I wanted to get your take on it. How is it accurate to use testing rates when so few tests are being done in the north and east in the borough?
I have not, I don't know that that is a fact. I've not looked at the numbers in the north and the east comparative to their population rate. So I don't know that that's a fact. And if the school district sees that that's an issue, maybe they will encourage greater testing or pop-up testing, if you will, in those areas. I don't know that.
Okay, thanks so much to Dorotha Ferraro from South Peninsula Hospital and Jenny Carroll from the City of Homer. This has been the Thursday COVID Brief. I'm Kathleen Gustafson. The time is 9:34 a.m. and you are tuned to KBBI Homer, AM 890. Stay tuned at 10 a.m. Claudia Haynes hosts Radio Storytime from the Homer Public Library. Thanks, everybody.
If you'd like to make a call.
There's Jenny. Thanks, Dorotha. Thanks, Jenny.